portion of this Holy Scriptures which we can find in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verses 19 through 30. Acts 11, 19 through 30. But before that, the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and a life of the world to come. Amen. Acts 11, starting with verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed, and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. And the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Let us now seek the Lord's countenance in prayer. Lord, for the second time this day we draw nigh unto thee. Those who cleave to the dust, and those who always are up to cover their shortcomings, to diminish the trespasses, those who have gone astray, and Lord, we hardly know how to address thee. For we can use thy holy word and name without any impression, just like a custom and nothing more than just a habit. But, O Lord, it behooves us because of that to humble ourselves, not just to express, to verbalize these things, but may it also be found, be planted in the hearts, unworthy sinners, and still spared to attend, to listen for the second time this day, the message of thy word, addressed in a special service, where public confession of faith will be made, and Lord, publicly, but may it also be wholeheartedly, because it's easily expressed, it's easily promised publicly, but O Lord, without the fruits of life, what will it be? It's just like nothing. It ultimately would only stink. And therefore, Lord, may the confession of faith class students loathe themselves and try to promise the promise with a sigh in their heart. O Lord, help me. Like we will hear also in the second question, which will be asked by the grace of God. Otherwise, it will come to naught. Otherwise, we will cover up even when we waver. We will cover up even when we try to mix world and religion. But make them honest, Lord, and may those who have been taught by thee to lay, to commend the needs of the congregation before thy countenance, also to take them in their prayers along the new and coming generation. Lord, a different one than two generations ago and the last generation. But Lord, it's not because of a generation, it's not because of a certain and specific behavior, but it will only exist and will only be fulfilled because of thy counsel and because of thy good pleasure to draw out of a darkness, blackness, sinful evilness, creatures, human beings, unto thyself. Lord, they have been instructed, but the instruction, how beneficially, oh, as it may be, is not enough, because we can take it so easily. We become careless, or even worse, indifferent, but that they may receive to become restless. I live, but I cannot give an account. I'm still in the valley of tears, this sorrowful pilgrimage, but ultimately happiness cannot be found in occupation, in possessions, in the fulfillment of wants, or to solve the riddles when there is a crook in the lot, a crook in my pathway on earth, but all only the peace to be found in thee, as a sinful creature to be reconciled with thee. And having said that, Lord, so ignorant, to admit that I was so unteachable, so full of self, full of good intentions, but all my good intentions is like a pavement which will lead to hell. O Lord, convert before it is too late. And they will be called Christians, like in Antioch, the followers of thy son Christ were called Christians the first time. But may they also receive that ointment out of his fullness, And that their life may point to that one thing which is needful, not just only during attending the services on Sunday, but also during the week. And for thy people, although standing from afar and consumed with their sin, and also shook because of thy wrath and curse, will seek after and yearn for thee the whole week long. But Lord, not their yearnings, but that answer may be provided. May that answer be planted in the hearts, and may there be found also, Lord, also amongst them who will make public confession of faith. It's good to know, to verbalize how it ought to be, but actually it's so easily to live completely estranged from thee. Remember them, the parents, what a privilege that our children are willing to make public confession of faith, but like the parents, also the children, and the former generation, the grandparents need the same, and that the means be blessed in spite of something on earth, but only because of him who took captivity captive. Because I'm in captivity because of my sin. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of myself and ultimately a servant of the deceiver of the beginning. But Lord, who took captivity captive and is able and is appointed and is qualified to convert, to make them alive, that they may sigh and loathe and implore thee for thy grace. Remember those who are standing from afar and have no light, so down, so despondent. And if they hear and listen that the storehouse of the greater Joseph is still to be found, Lord, but they don't know how to get there. Therefore, may they receive some light, some instruction. May they receive, Lord, that guidance, not guided by themselves, but by thy word and by thy Holy Spirit. May we commend also the consistory, also the brother, elder who instructed the group, help him, and help all the brothers of the consistory in their official labors to seek together the welfare of the flock. Thou knowest the vacancy. And one of our brothers in the ministry received a call, come over and help us. Lord, grant him that light that he may take the decision which would be in thy favor. And Lord, the need is a great one here in southern Alberta. Except Fort MacLeod, all the others are vacant. Lord, remember our denomination. Be with the students, with the instructors. And Lord, make things well, although so undeserved. We have sinned. We have transgressed against thee and committed a sin against thee, thy word, thy being. Open our eyes that we may receive to become restless. If there are also in the midst of us, restless is the heart till it comes to rest in thee. They are looking for it and then yearn for, but may it be given. Thy way, thy time, that's always the best time and the best way, that thou would take everything with thee, and that thy Holy Spirit would accompany the word. Also in this afternoon, help thy servant, who is called to officiate, to preach, to proclaim, May we commend the needs of the flock, those who are seriously sick, the poor, the needy. May we commend thee, Lord, also the parents who feel figuratively bereaved for their kids became prodigal once and feel sad. Oh Lord, it's not to discourage, but to encourage, and that a word which was sown in the family will come up at thy time, and that they would return again unto the true doctrine and to the church, the denomination, the congregation. May we commend, Lord, those who are depressed, those who are lonely. May we commend also those who are admitted in Bethesda care home in their circumstance. Be with them. Grant them what they stand in need of. And make everything well in spite of us, only for his sake who is interceding at our right hand for Jesus' sake. Amen. We continue singing Psalter 85. Psalter 85. Ye righteous in the Lord rejoice as comely, that with joyful voice God's saints his name should praise. And what follows in the stanzas 2 and 3. 85, all three stanzas, while collections will be taken for benevolence and for church.
Thank you.
Beloved friends, with God's help, I'd like to draw your attention to what we can find in Acts 11, the last part of verse 23. Acts 11, verse 23, the last part. And exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Thus far. The purpose of heart. Two thoughts. Firstly, the essence. And secondly, the content. The purpose of heart. The essence. And secondly, the content. Beloved friends, I take you along to a big city, Antioch. Only Rome was bigger. Antioch, the second city of the Roman Empire. For sure, approximately 1.5 million people in the days of Acts of the Apostles. That's something else than just the rural area here in southern Alberta with the many farmers. Because a city means also a lot of attraction. A lot of enjoyment. Never a dull moment. Also in the days of Acts of the Apostles. Lots of temples for the idols. And the people serving them, we give them the name pagans. Never heard about the Lord God. Maybe a few Jews were living there. That can be true. But ultimately, very few people serving every day the idols. It's a custom. Like it can become a custom for you to attend faithfully. But nothing during the week is pointing to what we heard on Sunday. I don't dare to call you a pagan, but maybe your life is more mixed with heathenism than we realize. Until the eyes will be opened. Until the Lord will open the hearts. People and their occupation in Antioch. Busy. Day in, day out, always. And you know the wonder. Servants of the Lord were sent not only to the rural areas, but also to this big city Antioch, and they preached. And politely people were listening. Maybe like you, politely. It would be a shame not to do so. But it was more. Otherwise, other people turned around and went their way. They continue, they proceed on their, in their idolatry. But others were touched. No, that's not the good expression at all. Not only touched, they were arrested. And something changed in their life. Kneeling down before idols, bringing all kinds of offerings to the temples of the idols, it changed because their mind, their conscience became burdened. They couldn't do it. And people mocked. And maybe some of them turned around and went back. Would you do it? You would. Undoubtedly. Unless the Lord would intervene. Unless the Lord would arrest you. Because then your heart, then your mind, then your existence is not pointing to below here on earth, but upwards unto the Lord. And those people they followed a certain Jesus of Nazareth. And in Antioch they were called the first Christians. Because they were different. Are you different? In a sense different, because there are also, and it happens to brothers, that not all the students will make public confession of faith. They postpone it for a long time, or even worse, indifferent, careless, never attend catechism classes, never attend confession of faith class, and the indifference increases and the difference between world and church disappears, fade away. But here is the difference, and they were called Christians. And you know, rumor spread abroad. There's a nice expression that states, those who have been regenerated and have been converted by the Lord God, that will never take place in a corner, but it will become evident. How's your life? And your parents? And of the congregations, those who are here present, who is your life? How? And the rumor spread abroad, and even in Jerusalem, they heard about what happened in Antioch. First, they preached only to the Jews, but now also to the Grecians. And from Jerusalem, a church visitation was sent, delegates to Antioch. And the man who was sent, he bore the name Barnabas, actually a Jew, from originally a Levite, to take a look what was happening there. And you know, when he came there, he was glad. And this man, Barnabas, is actually a God-fearing man too. For he was a good man, verse 24, and full of the Holy Ghost. Not stand by you or me or whosoever, but that's stated by the Lord God. He was full, but not full of self, in selfishness, not full of self in the sense of haughtiness. No, he was full of the Holy Ghost. And he had a message. And he addressed the people in Antioch. Keep in mind, he who was brought up as a Jew, as a Levite, thoroughly instructed in the law of Moses, thoroughly acquainted with the Bible, and of course, in those days, the Old Testament, for no books of the New Testament were written yet. And he met with Gentiles who were converted, and you know, he could meet with them, not because they had the same suit, the same size, the same words they expressed, but he recognized the core. He discerned. He didn't bless them. That's wrong, brothers, to lay the hands upon people to bless them. If you know the Lord, how haughty you are, you would make people haughty too by blessing them. But he provided some instruction. He instructed them. He had a message, and his message, may I give it a name? It's mild. It's very mild. He, being a Jew, didn't take the line and lined the Gentiles up to the measures of his knowledge. He didn't bless them, but instructed them, brothers, what a task in our official labors. He pointed, and then the words of our text, and exhorted them all of them. Is it well? He didn't say. Is it wrong? He didn't say. He exhorted them all. You know, whether a person is converted is not in suits. It's not in verbalizing the words, but will become evident sooner or later in the fruits of life. Always, undoubtedly. And I could ask you, and I will, who are your friends? And I will tell you who you are. Right away, are your friends people who take the things lightly, easy? Worldly people? Let me guess, you're on the way along with those. It ought to change, yes. But if it's up to Satan and up to you, it will never change. Unless I'm burdened. Unless I'm arrested. And exhorted them all. You know, how much did they know? How deep were they instructed by the Word and by the whole Holy Spirit? We don't know. But it's good to hear that the arrow is further. It's good to listen to a message once and a while what you received. But it's more profitable to listen more often that the arrow is further. And exhorted them all. Exhorted those who were made alive, dead in sin and trespass, were made alive. And you know, sometimes hard to discern, brothers, but babes in grace will not verbalize the words as the more adults in grace. Make sense. But exhorted them all. Are they all the same? No. In age, probably, in background, in character, in profession. Lots of differences, but them all exhorted. And why? Is it a specific sin? Well, yes and no. But I have to explain that. Yes, because that indwelling corruption, that inclination to go astray, sin. The betrayer is in the gates. I mean, it's in my mind, it's in my being. Sin. Always inclined to listen to the whispering voices. Do you recognize it? Maybe to put a question mark right away behind expressions of the Word of God. Do you recognize? Is it a specific sin? Even if there is no specific sin, they are surrounded by pagans. The greatness of life, the desire of the eyes, is their sin. If there is no sin, they are easily distracted. And also, a true believer cannot resist sin. Only grace will when it is exercised. Only grace can resist sin when there is communion and exhorted them. Actually, when we look to the Greek, the original language, the word exhort, actually it's meant as to warn, to urge. That's behind it. Don't look around. I warn you, like the Lord Jesus warned his disciples, watch and pray. In Gethsemane, I mean, and they fell asleep three times. Watch and pray, and exhorted them all. Do you need that? You know why? Dear friends, you would feel at home here. You would feel comfortable here below. But if you feel at home here below on earth, you're for sure not a stranger, right? It's actually pointing, exhort, stay a stranger. Remain to be a stranger. Can you recognize strangers? Well, yes, they feel a little bit insecure. You sense they don't live here. They don't know the right way. They don't know the map of the towns, the cities, the area, and you know their speech. They have a different language, and extolled them all. How is your language? And I mean, yeah, English. When you listen to me, you can hear a heavy Dutch accent for sure. But what's your language? I mean, English for sure. Native speaker. But what kinds of books do you read? Do you really read daily meditations? Do you really read the Bible? What's your language? Because worldly people, they have never time, only for their own enjoyments. And church people are similar, unless God's people, that inclination, some recognition, I do, and urge them, warn them to be blind. You know, it's easily said because I have a healthy eye, and you probably too, but to become blind, then the world around you is dark. Makes sense, easy. But then I'm not as distracted by temptations. And the temptations, every minute on your cell phone cannot be spent to see God. Every minute behind your screen of your laptop, your computer cannot be spent for. And I have to give an account for once. And I can cover up. I can justify it. You can justify it when you have a conversation with me and your neighbor and your parents and friends. But once you can't cover it up, then you have to appear before God. And that started there in Antioch. They were prepared by the Lord. People who have been taught that they cannot prepare themselves. And I have to explain that a little bit more. Nowadays you meet with people, they can speak the whole day, or maybe not the whole day, but quite lengthy about what they are doing with religious biblical things. They are so busy in their own way with the Lord God. You would almost get impressed by. But I am not. I have to be very blunt and very honest. Because they never asked whether God was busy in my heart. Never ever. And those the letter urged them, warned them, exhorted them. And then the purpose of the heart. Purpose. That's something else than good intentions. Don't you think so? I would. Because you can sit in your pew on your chair here and we'll ask you the questions within half an hour. You will answer. And I hope that there is still some impression. Because you can also be so indifferent. Hardly any impressions. You hate the callings and step over. And your conscience can be hardened, become hardened. But that good intentions I will read. I will pray for. I will seek that one thing which is needful. And God's people, if it would have been my work, it would have come to naught. Not your intentions. And it's good to read. It's a privilege to become a member. It's also a responsibility to be one. It's both true. Undoubtedly. But intentions is not enough. With the purpose of the heart. It's stressed double. Heart means the main thing of my existence. Out of the heart, all the other things will come forth. My heart, the outgoing acts of my heart will become evident in my actions, in my free time, in my speech, you hear me. With the purpose of the heart. That's their calling. And if you had to uphold and to maintain that purpose of heart, then you sense how impossible that is. It will come to naught. It definitely will. But that purpose, to be blind, otherwise I can't cleave to the Lord, isn't it? To be deaf for all the rumors, otherwise I can't cleave, isn't it? With the purpose of heart, strong expression. That's not what I do. And I go a step backwards now. Nowadays you meet people, they exhort themselves. And that's in a certain sense okay. I mean, there is the responsibility. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6 verse 33.
But if I have to exhort myself, then I can pretend to be nice and kind and proper and sound. But it's more about self than about cleaving to God. It is. They are dependent people. Are you dependent? You know what dependent people are? I use the word strangers on earth. Those strangers are not the citizens of here below, but they belong to another kingdom. They don't belong to the world, but they are still in the world, on the world, and with a purpose of heart as the result of grace. They have a hunger and a thirst. And why do they hunger and thirst? Because they exhort themselves. It was planted by the Lord. And it will be seen. Dear friends, strangers, they don't wear clothes of worldly people. You too? Not to be legalistic, but women don't wear pants, eh? That doesn't belong. And it's biblical to have long hair. Not because I'm better or more. That's what my Bible tells me. And how do I spend my money? It's about career. And it's in your life maybe never enough. Then you're dependent on yourself, but not cleaving to the Lord. Like in our text. In this time. Dear friends, the first time that we meet here, actually, I don't know you. You have seen me many times. You heard my sermons probably many times. But you have to be aware of one thing. Non-Christians know that you attend a congregation and services. And they sense and filter how your behavior is. Whether it is different than theirs. And look now in the mirror. How is your life? We live in a time. And I mean it. Brothers, nominal Christians, we have way too many. Way too many. But may the fear which was found in the past also be found in this generation. And you say, well, I'm so worldly. And may I say it? You live in the city of the world. Do you hear me? The city of the world. That's where we are living. My children and their parents, my wife and I, and you, and also the grandparents, in the city of the world. Shall there be found some good thing in that city? No, and still, because of the Lord God, because of His counsel, because of His good pleasure, He made sin sin, and made guilt guilt, and the purpose of the heart was, and that's where it begins, godly sorrow. And there is it where it be renewed. Time and again, with the purpose of the heart. Give me Jesus or I die. Or with Psalm 73, whom do I have but thee on high? That's that purpose. And what other people do, those people don't speak in a condescending way, in a judgmental way. But they bear also the burden. Maybe your sibling, maybe your other children, maybe your parents. Lord, convert them. Then I have a message as a dying man to do the dying. And in that sense, that's the main reason that Barnabas is so mild. Would he have stamped them? Maybe not even, but knowing who I am, how my life is, what a wonder that there are good rumors in Antioch. And I hope that that good rumor, not just that rumor, but that life is experienced in the house where you're living, in the heart which you bear along, with the purpose of heart. And who are they? Former pagans. And God's people, my background. Like Ruth. Where is he from? Moab. Pagans. She bears it along, my background. And the old man, I bear it along too. Purpose of the heart. To seek. Say, well, seeking, that's one thing. But I can tell you one thing, seeking, I hope that it will be made also an unbearable thing. You know why? Seeking is no answer. Who will tell that my seeking will be enough? Who will tell me that my seeking and praying for is acceptable in God's sight, in God's holy sight? Only if that answer will be provided. And why would the Lord provide that answer from on high? There in that city, Antioch, full of evil. No, in that heart here, full of evil, why would he? That was the essence of the preaching and the content of the proclamation of the apostles. My counsel will stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God is free and sovereign. As it had to come because of their paganism, or if it has to come because you are so decent, it will never come. If there would be no election, no one could and would be saved. Here is the wonder that the Lord was the first. And that the preaching of his son was preached. Why would they have been called Christians without having heard about Christ, the anointed one? And his name was preached to people unknown, ignorant. But let me tell you one thing, beloved friend. Although you have been brought up here and have heard many sermons, I hope that there will come a time that the Lord will make you ignorant. Otherwise, there is no dependency. Otherwise, I know it beforehand. Otherwise, I could provide myself the answers. But those people are completely, genuinely, wholeheartedly, sincerely dependent
purpose of the heart. And the word was preached. And that word which was preached was sharp. I'm cursed. Are you cursed? Because of my world conformity. Look in the mirror, beloved friends. I have to bear wrath. Not of my neighbor, but as creature, because of my creator. That was the preaching. Sharp was not blessing. Was not just somewhere beginning half-heavy. No. They know their rotten stem. They know their inclination. And it caused them to cry. Do you know where you're at? God's people are always up to figure out where they are at. And I understand. Because it gives me some security in my insecurity. It provides me some clarity when it's just only dark. Do I know where I at? As long as you know and figuring out it yourself, God's people, isn't it true? There is no room that He will send that clarity from on high. Because the Lord will never stamp what I think, what will be acceptable. He will make room. And will make room in such a way that when He comes over, it's a wonder. Without having figured out where I'm at. And it's good to know and to hear what is in your inner room. Definitely, it provides you some encouragement. But the best encouragement is where He is dear and near to them. With the purpose of the heart. There are the people who have to miss Him and cannot. And you know the way wherein He will make room when they are despondent, when they are dismayed, to strip them of more and more from self. And then they are even lower as ever before. Then it's not so easily verbalized, I'm the chiefest of all the sinners. Because if that's true, you can hardly breathe. You can hardly bear. But if He will come over with that answer, is that life yours, friends? Or do I speak Chinese now? And I mean it. It is a strange language. You're feeling at home here. And to cleave unto the Lord. And if you cleave unto the Lord, may I say just in a comprehensible way, the Lord you can't find when you're partying. When you're feasting. You know where you can find the word, the Lord God in His word. To read it. To listen to a sermon. If you want to get wet, then you have to stand in the rain. That's a typical Dutch expression. If you want to receive that blessing, you have to use the means. Do you? And friends, it's the best there is. There is no better life than this life.
And because pagans were converted and pagans were breathing, I mean, sighing, loathing, imploring for grace, that they may receive to cleave unto the Lord. And you know, the name Lord has a special meaning here. Are you moved? It's in the life of God's people, always low tide and high tide. And we say, yeah, and more often it's low tide, for sure, but sometimes there's more hope, less hope, and you are movable. But in the name Lord, there is a name that means immovable. I change. Sometimes there are times that I'm overwhelmed to seek, and there are those times when I'm in a drought, in a wilderness. I change, but in the name Lord there is the meaning unchangeable. Therefore, children of Jacob, not consumed. Not consumed. Cleave unto him. How? Lazy, sleepy. I would like to meet you all of a sudden in the midst of the week. And how would the Lord, because what I see, that's not him. I'm a human being. God's people, we need to live, and we can live the same grace. But if the Lord would find you, and he is omniscient, he knows, what would he see? One thing is for sure, he is free of your blood. You will make a promise. You will make one. And then, I said, I promised, yes. But my actions and my deeds were actually the opposite of it. Once you have to give an account, it's for sure a privilege that you will become a member, a professing member. But may I say, there are also some expectations about your appearance, about your behavior. What differ you and I from worldly people? The purpose to cleave. I have to miss thee, but I cleave unto thee. And I miss thee not because I have to blame an office bearer or a minister or a neighbor, but I cannot miss thee. And they cleave. And you know, all those who yearn and pine, they will receive, not scheduled in their own agenda, written by their own hand, but at God's time, an answer. They will. You know why? His word shall be prospered. In spite of everything, and God's people, we are less willing than we think. It will be prospered in spite of me. It will be prospered because he received his rewards. And a seed shall serve him. A seed known by him. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. John 17. And they will serve him. And those will cleave. You too. And why would they cleave? Just by doing it? No. That they may find out that the fear of the Lord is the best life what there is on earth. And you know why? There is the answers. Answer. How can I get rid of my guilt? That ransom that has to be paid. There they find the answer in that atonement and that reconciliation in Him. And they cleave not just for the benefits, for the blessing, but for the benefactor and for the blesser. And they serve Him. Those people, also in the past here, were living examples. And that generation is almost gone. And what will the next generation bring? You. But friends, if you never had an example of that purpose to cleave, because your parents were always silent about these things and never spoke about these things, those parents will not be surprised that their kids, children, will do exactly the same. And even then, there is hope for the pagans in Antioch who had an upbringing out of paganism. We're blessed with His blessings. And if that take place, to Thy honor and to Thy glory and to the salvation of wretched ones. Amen. Let us now sing Psalter 324, stanzas 3 and 4. Keep me from falsehood, let Thy law with me in grace abide. The way of faithfulness I choose. Thy precepts are my guide. May I ask the Confession of Faith class students to stand. I will read now the four questions which are to be asked to the Confession of Faith class students. Do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church which you have learned, heard and confessed to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the sacred scriptures? Do you promise by the grace of God to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Do you promise at all times to conduct yourself conformably to this doctrine faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession with good works? Do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event which God forbid that you may become delinquent either in doctrine or in life? Barton John Alleman, what is your answer? Rachel Renee Alleman. David John Alleman. Raylene Suzanne Grisnick. Mitchell Peter de Kock. Raymond Peter de Kock. Sarah Clazine Schipper. Laura Janita DeLu, Stephanie Nicole Dunsbergen, Kendrick Tyler Dunsbergen, Nicole Jurita Van Heerden, Jonathan Jarrett Inname, Caitlin Janelle Inname, Sarah Wilhelmina Kerhorst, Joel Willie Munns, Stephanie Geraldine Vandenberg, Arthur William Oscombe, Heidi Katharina Overeem, Melis Hendrik Oscombe, Peterina Hengstmengel, Daniel James Pellebour, Timothy Wayne Pellebour, Carrie Paula Pellebour, Marinus Jan Riedijk, Eline Jenné de Kock, Adrianus François Sinke, Janette Sanderina Schipper, Hannah Louise Slingeland, Coralie Adriana van Luyck, David Albert van den Bruinhorst, Garrett Alidus van den Bruinhorst, John Leonard van der Kraats, Jason William van den Broek, and Evelyn Joanne Verhoef. Solemn, a precious moment. You have now become, instead of being a Baptist member, a professing member of the denomination of the Netherlands Reformed Congregation, and here of the Congregation of Pictribute. Privilege when you look back. In the season past you were instructed. And we may acknowledge the instructor for all the lessons which he provided. But do we know what lessons are? Just doing and making some homework, faithful in attending the class, we heard something else. And you know, the Lord knows you. Also behind the curtains of your life, figuratively, what you're doing. And congregation, when we look at people, we sense a behavior. But it's hard for us human beings to look behind that behavior. But the Lord as an all-knowing Lord knows behind that behavior, by nature prone to sin, or if by the plantation of his holy word and spirit, you're also sorry for all these things. He knows it. Simon Peter, lovest thou me? And he betrayed. Are there here two who know that? Are there amongst this group of 34, one, hopefully two, hopefully all of you, behind the appearance of my life, lovest thou me? I betray thee many times, innumerable times. Thou knowest everything. Sinner, unworthy. But Lord, thou knowest also that I love thee. There are people on earth, friends, they cannot comprehend how that can stick together. Because they are not simply easily satisfied by expressing, but they want to know how that is possible. That life, that your life may be adorned with fruits. Instead of profaning the Lord's name because of my behavior. Do we recognize that? Seriousness. Where is it to be found? But of course there is more. It's a privilege that you have now become professing members of the congregation, but still remain strive ye to enter. And for your parents also a privilege, not because you did so well, because you need exactly the same. Once you were baptized as infants, surrounded by three holy names, are the parents, are you surrounded by it? Maybe you're hurt in your pew. You're glad because there are 34 new members, but your son or daughter, or maybe one, maybe two, maybe more, became prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Your heart would break. Who is able to comfort the heart who feels bereaved figuratively? Even when you never received the blessing of children, happens too. Or never married single. Not to discourage you, the Lord will go on to build his church. In spite of everything, in spite of paganism, in spite of Antioch, in spite of whosoever. And let it be an encouragement that he will do it for his holy name's sake. And brothers, we know each other. The last time that I will preach in your midst before leaving to Holland tomorrow. Your parents were concerned because you didn't use their words. And sometimes now we are concerned because our children expresses themselves differently than we would like. Keep this in mind. Barnabas was mild. He was an educated man, a Levite. He didn't condemn, but he instructed them. And the best way is, cleave unto the Lord. It's the best that the Lord tells them that something is wrong, than that I tell them bluntly. We only have to instruct. And parents, if you find it hard to instruct, and yes, black is black and white is white, undoubtedly. That's not what I mean. where do you wrestle? That the fear of the Lord is still be found. Otherwise it's just a blank will. We know how it ought to be. But where is it experienced? Where is it practiced? And O Lord, Jeremiah, a servant, a child of all of the Lord, convert me, then I will be converted, and draw me, then I will follow thee. And that Lord is still the same as he was in the past and is in the present and will be for the future. Amen. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that we have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Congregation, we will sing Psalter 31, stanza 3, standing as a prayer for the new members of your congregation. 31, stanza 3, O thou that ever savest those who trust on thee as stayed, preserving them from all their foes by thy almighty aid, and what follows. And we'll do this standing. Let us close with prayer. It is at the close of this service that we again draw nigh unto thee. Lord, bless the new members with thy blessing and bestow upon them out of the storehouse of that greater Joseph that blessing to abstain from all the allurements, to discern what could extract them, and to live in godly fear. Reconcile the shortcoming and in listening and in preaching. Go with us in the furnace of this day. And when the doors of this building will be opened a third time, help the elder in reading. And if he has to lay all the needs of the congregation before thee, we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Closing Psalter 420, stanza 5. Let God be praised with reverence deep. He daily comes our lives to steep in bounties freely given. And what follows, the fifth stanza of 420. Thank you.
Go in peace and receive the blessing of the Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.